The most powerful person in the world is the storyteller. The storyteller sets the vision, values, and agenda of an entire generation that is to come. Steve Jobs. One of the visions I've always had for this podcast is to have this be a safe place for travelers to tell their stories to an audience who really cares and wants to listen. Today, I want to welcome you to a special Traveler's Story edition of the Anxious Adventure podcast. Join me. Hello, and welcome to the Anxious Adventure podcast. I'm Katie Schlegel, your host. I've traveled to a lot of places around this beautiful planet, seen so many jaw-dropping sights, and I've met some pretty amazing human beings along the way. Now, if you don't know this yet, I'm an anxious venture. If you're wondering what an anxious venture even means, well, to put it quite simply, it means that when I travel, I can get anxious and stressed out maybe a little easier or more often than the average person. However, over my many years of traveling, I've learned to tap into something special that makes traveling so much easier and more fun. That is my intuition. And the more I've learned to trust my gut during my travels, the more synchronistic, amazing, and even healing my travel experiences have been. If you're new around here, I'm assuming you found this podcast because of the name, because you too are an anxious adventurer. So welcome. This is a safe place to be yourself. My hope is that you use these travel stories, experiences, and tips as a way to help you tap into your intuition so that you too can be swept off into the wonderful world that traveling can open up for you. Traveling can be so healing for people like us if you have the tools and understanding for it to be so. And the good news is, you don't have to do this alone. I'm here to be your guide and to help you on your path to healing your anxiousness and stress around traveling. So get ready to fill up your cup with magical moments where you find out that this world really is a friendly place. You just have to change the way you look at it, follow your gut, and step out your door. And don't you worry, I am right here beside you. I'm very excited to share this episode with you today because you get to hear from my second guest and all about her amazing travel adventures. Plus, she has some really solid travel tips that are super practical and so darn good. You don't want to miss them. She's not only an avid traveler who has been traveling the world since she was very young, she's an amazing woman, entrepreneur, and business coach. Please join me today in welcoming my second guest here on the Anxious Adventure podcast. All right. Welcome, Tina, to the Anxious Adventure podcast. Thank you so much for being my second guest for my traveler stories. I'm so excited for you to be here. I wanted you to first off tell me a little bit about what you do and what your business is. I know you have an e-commerce store, so I want you to tell the listeners a little bit about that and then maybe how you started that business.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for having me, Katie. I'm honored to be guest number two. So exciting. So like you said, my name's Tina, and I'm the owner of an online store called Welljourn. And so the name is kind of a play off this idea of wellness and journey. So like well-read, well-met, well-being. And so for me, it's about that travel and being able to discover products is part of wellness. And so in my store, Welljourn, I sell fair trade products that I curate from makers and designers, artisans around the world. It's mostly home decor, small collectibles, jewelry, but just things that I discover and think are beautiful and amazing and need to reach a market here in the US. So that's what I sell.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love that you have a very similar audience or people that you're trying to reach with these fair trade, artisan made, and you're trying to get that out there. So I love that, how we have that little combination together.
Yeah. And what's really cool, I find, is a lot of my customers will buy something that reminds them of a trip that they've been on. So like one of my best sellers are these safari animals that are really whimsical that just fit on a bookshelf or decor. And I have so many reviews and emails and messages from people that say, oh, this reminds me of my trip to Kenya, or this reminds me when I went on safari. And so I love being able to have that physical reminder of a trip and travel with something that comes from that place and is representative, like actually made by the people from there. So that's really important to me. Just being able to have all those little touch points is really special.
Absolutely. That's so great. I didn't quite know that about your business. So that's great. I love that you shared that today, because that's super important to have those memories of a trip that you took and kind of just those touch points, as you said, and to have them be able to reconnect with those experiences. It's just amazing with an object that they can have in their house and see every day. You know, that's lovely.
Yeah, exactly. I also, a lot of what I have too, I call collectible pieces of art. So they're really affordable, but like really at the end of the day, kind of like your store, it's about supporting the artisans, and they truly are artisans. Like the skill and what they make is just outstanding. So,
oh my gosh, the gorgeous stuff. I'm looking at right now on the desk, my desk, the little draft bowl that we did for the collab that we did a while back. And it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. Like just the technique, the painting, and it makes me smile. I've never been to that part of Africa, that down more down south or where like the safaris are, but it just is like, oh, I love giraffes. And it's just a beautiful sentimental piece that I just get to look at every time I sit down on my desk. So absolutely understand that. Okay, so let's get into some travel stories. First, I want to ask you, where was the first country or city that you traveled to?
So I have to say, it's a little bit embarrassing, but I don't remember. And that's because as a child, like I traveled a lot.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of travel when I was a kid. So I think that's why. And we moved around a lot. But I'll say like some of my favorite childhood travel memories are, my mom's from Germany. And so we would spend every other summer in Germany, and I would stay with my grandparents in a tiny little village. And then we would do day trips from there. So we would go like do a day trip or take a train, go to Austria or go to Switzerland or go to France. And so I have really fond memories of visiting all kinds of places across Europe. And just seeing them, you know, through kind of like through my mom's eyes, because she speaks multiple languages. And like, not, I think it, for me, that was really cool. Now that I think about it, I realize like, oh, I had a really non-traditional childhood in that way.
Totally. Oh my gosh.
I spent my summers in Europe, like living in a different culture. And that's probably why I love travel so much now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I did not know that about you, Tina. So that's really cool. I love that. Do you remember kind of your first time that you went to like the summer, like what age it was?
So I would say one of my favorite trips, I would say I must have been like 8 or 9, somewhere around that age. And we went to Vienna. I remember we went to Vienna and stayed with friends of my parents at like, you know, like all four of us stayed on in their living room on like my brother and I slept on the floor on, you know, blow up mattresses kind of thing. And just seeing like the beautiful architecture and going into the cafes where you had this like, you know, just like a cake that was a piece of art. And like, we weren't drinking coffee, my parents were, but like we were drinking, my brother and I would drink hot chocolate. And then I looked out the window and the Lipizzaner horses were doing like a tour through the city. And there's these like amazing, beautiful, like almost look like unicorns, like white horses just trotting down the street.
Oh my you know, gosh.
And I'm like sitting there eating my cake. And it's just like, like a dream, you know, now that I think about it, I'm like, Whoa, that was quite a memory, you know.
Oh my
and
gosh,
at that age,
yeah.
I was obsessed with horses and like, you know, so I, you know, 8-year-old girl, like right? I wasn't going to be excited about that.
Totally.
So I would say, yeah, like Vienna was really a highlight for me in my memories of really cool places to have been.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a dream, like a fairy tale, almost. Mm-hmm, so
totally,
cool.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. And those horses are beautiful too. So to see those like trotting down, oh, and the way that the gait
yeah.
that we have, oh, so.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Like if you know anything about horses, like, or even if you don't, I would say just go Google it, like horses of Vienna or Lipizzaner horses is mm-hmm. what they're called. And they're, it's not like any other horses you've seen. They're yeah. really special.
Yeah, they really are. Oh, they're so beautiful. I'm jealous. That's a beautiful memory. Do you have a moment when you fell in love with travel? Or maybe it was like a special trip that you took or a memory of when you knew that you're like, oh no, I love travel and this is something I'm going to do the rest of my life. I just know it. Was there anything kind of like that was like,
yeah,
wow.
I don't know if there's any like one moment, but I would say like one of my favorite parts of traveling is being on a train. And I think that's because I did a lot of train travel when I was a kid, right? Like that's sure. how you travel through Europe. And that like chug chug of the train tracks, like I can think of all the countries I've sat in a train and stared out the window from, like, you know, South America to Europe, even the US, like really anywhere you go, I would say if you have the opportunity to do it on a train, even if your trip is going to be super long and it's right. not the most efficient way to go, but you get to meet people, you get to see the landscape, you get to hear the language. And there's all these little tactile things that I love, like, you know, the guy with his little ticket clipper,
yes,
and,
yes.
you know, sometimes they bring through a cart with like
yes.
drinks or food. And I just feel like you can learn, or like the speaker, there's so much you can learn about a country and the people by just sitting on a train for a couple hours.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It's funny because this wasn't yeah. what I was going to tell you at all when I was like thinking of stories for the podcast. But
yeah.
like now that you've got me down this path, I would say like train travel is probably one of my favorite things. And it's like part of my love of travel.
Oh, for sure. I completely agree with you on that. I was just thinking about that the other day. I was just like, I love road trips. I love like trains. I love getting like even buses, like back in the day when I was
yeah,
traveling.
I would say buses like fit in that category too.
Totally.
You don't have to drive. You don't have to look right. at the map. You know, like once you figure out what bus or train you're getting on,
exactly.
like you're usually
you
good
sit
for
down.
You can sit down for actually quite a few hours and like just absorb the place and let your mind
yes.
wander. And like I've had lovely conversations with people on trains, and yeah, it's just really cool, something really
yeah.
special about it.
Totally. And it really makes for those special like memories when you're thinking about your travels. You can really mm-hmm. like just sit and remember the landscape and all the things. And yeah, I agree. I love traveling on the ground, like like that way
yeah,
versus flying.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I would say for, and maybe this is like another thing which is funny about me, like on planes, I can sleep through any plane ride. Like I've had
oh,
times
really?
Where I fall asleep before takeoff and I wake up and we're like 40 minutes into the flight. And
oh,
I know a
gosh.
Lot of anxious travelers would be like, that's not fair, especially since I don't take anything. I'm not talking like sleeping pills. Like I just naturally fall asleep. But on a train, I've got so much things happening and like inspiration or excitement that I don't
yeah.
fall asleep. So it's
yeah.
different. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like a different visual for the senses and all the things happen on trains because you have so much
yeah.
going on. It's almost like its own little city, you know, like rolling
yeah,
through.
Exactly. It's like a little microcosm of the place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So do you have any like a memorable travel story where maybe something amazing happened? I mean, you've already told us so many, but maybe something amazing happened or you met someone that really was like, wow, I look at life differently now because I met you, or that conversation. Or maybe something not so great happened and everything went wrong and there was a big life lesson that you learned. I've had many of those, so I always want to ask.
Well, I've had plenty of mishaps that things go wrong, but I don't want to stress people out with those. So I won't go there. But I would say one of my most, like you said, sort of the life-changing moment trips was I at one point quit my job, took all my savings, and went to South America as a solo traveler for, it was almost 6 months. It was like a little over 5 months. Okay. And I backpacked around South America. And when I was down there, I decided, okay, I want to do a volunteer trip because I'm here for so long. Mm-hmm. And someone had recommended to me, and you know how things go, it just kind of falls into place. I ended up in the highlands of Peru, like very remote, small little village. Like you took a bus up a windy, scary road to get to this little village. Yeah. And I lived with a family and I barely spoke Spanish. Like I have to say, I didn't speak Spanish. So that was interesting. There was a volunteer program who the local English teacher organized. And so I lived with a family and then I volunteered at, it was sort of an orphanage, you can say. But actually what I found out later is many of the girls there weren't orphans. It's just because it's such a poor rural place. Some of their families couldn't take care of them properly. So they lived at this sort of like boarding school, you could say. So there was a lot of intensity and, you know, there was difficult things there. But one of the funny stories, which I can tell, is the other volunteers who were there, they were all English speaking, but we were all from different countries. Okay. And the director of the school said, we want all of you volunteers to teach the girls English. So we said, okay, great. None of us are teachers, but you know, we were kind of like young and lots of bravado, like, oh, we can teach English. We know what we're doing. And so we sat at night and we were like, let's make our lesson plan. Like we had all these big visions.
I love it.
Then we're like, well, do we start with the alphabet or do we start with words? We ran into problems so fast, and this is where the story gets funny, because I'm American. One girl was Australian.
Oh,
one
gosh.
One was Irish. One was English. And we had another one. I forgot where she was from. We literally couldn't agree on the alphabet. Like, do you say Z or Z? We couldn't agree on numbers. Do you say nil or zero? And then we're like, how do you introduce yourself? Everybody had a different... hi, like we couldn't even agree on the simplest things. And so we just started cracking each other up because it was just so funny. We're like, we're supposed to speak these, teach these girls English. We can barely understand each other. And so we decided, someone had the great idea, like, why don't we just do a game? So we ended up doing Simon Says with them. And it was fun because the girls could figure it out. Like Simon Says, touch your head. And like, you know, so we all did it together. And we by the end of the day, everybody was laughing and it was super fun. But it made me realize, like, even for English speakers, even if you're like trying to communicate with other English speakers, can be very different. Very
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was one of my like funnest moments of really understanding myself and just understanding the importance of language and how you can overcome it just by making things fun and using games and your hands and like you can communicate
your body.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, at the end of the day, it was all about the girls that we were teaching and they had so much fun. And I think they even told the director, they were like, that was the best English class we ever had.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
That was really fun.
So cool. Man, I know you don't quite understand what, like how different, like even in the United States, how different like things go with language and English. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a friend that came to visit from Argentina and she spoke really good English. Mariana, I've mentioned her before on the podcast, and she is a master at English. Like she does a lot of like phone calls with people calling in and asking questions, all these things. Like she's done it all. And we were in the South and we were at like McDonald's or something. And the girl asked her like what she wanted to order. And she just stood there and was like, Katie, can you come over? Like, I don't know what, because she just had that Southern accent. And I was just like, oh, she just wants you to like order. And she's like, oh, okay. I had no idea what she said. I was like, oh my gosh, I never like even thought of that, of like just within our own country. Mm-hmm. You have so many different like ways of saying things or different accents and all that stuff that people who do speak English that come from other countries, they're just like, what? Or when we go to England or go to Ireland or like the Welsh, like it's just all these things that you're just like, wow, no, I don't understand all the English, like even.
Like before I went on that trip, I had taken, you know, I'd done like 3 months intensive, like, okay, I'm really going to study Spanish. I'm going to be ready. Well, my teacher was from Spain, like from Madrid. And then I went to Argentina. I couldn't understand a word they said. You know, I was like, I grew up in California. I can understand Spanish on the radio. I can get the gist of what people are saying. Well, they usually speak Spanish like from Mexico, which is different than Spanish from Spain, which is different than Argentina. And then you go to Peru and that's totally different. Like, I was like, okay, I don't know a word of Spanish. Like, start over.
Right? Oh my gosh. Totally. That's where I learned Spanish was in Argentina. And so I could, like, when I hear like Argentine Spanish, I was like, oh, I can understand. And then like when I went to Colombia, I was like, it's more of a sing song in Colombia, like where they're just like, it's very like up and down. Mm-hmm. And Argentina's Spanish is very like strong and like fast and all these words that you're just like, what are you saying? And so when I went to Colombia, I was just staring sometimes because it was just like, you sound so pretty, but I don't understand what you're saying. Oh, man, it's so funny. It's funny how that happens, even within, your own culture and other cultures. I love, but that's what's great about traveling, right? You get to
completely.
Know.
Mm-hmm.
So, lovely. Yeah. Okay.
And then so, Argentina, I'll say, like, I'd always been in these sort of coffee countries, and all of a sudden everything was mate, and I had to learn like the mate cup, the special straw, the whole it almost reminds me of Japan, and there's like a whole ceremony around making drink and how you do it and where your supplies come from, and like that was super fun to learn about. And somewhere around here, that was my souvenir from Argentina, even though I only had like my backpack, like it came home with a mate cup.
Absolutely. They're big on mate. I loved learning that when I lived there. And you're right. So many little idiosyncrasies between like, oh, I have to take it with sugar. Or mine's like lemon mate and has lemon or has orange. And there's like no sugar. Or like, I take the first sip, you take the, like, there's like so many things, like you said. That's so cool. I want to do an episode about tea, like in the different countries, because
that would be cool, like tea around the world.
Yeah, because it's such as the United States, it's like that we're coffee drinkers a lot. Like there's a coffee culture too, of course, around the world, but there's so many countries that have these ceremonies around tea where it's just like, where it's either like you're building community or you're having this like special interaction with someone with the green tea in Japan. Like it's just like, so like cool. And I think there's
that would be so cool. You should totally do that.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. Okay, so the last thing that I wanted to ask you, now it doesn't sound like you're an anxious adventurer. Are you, like, do you ever get anxious about when you travel or when like certain situations, or because you've been traveling for a while?
Oh, totally. I've had plenty of times where I've gotten anxious, and I'd say a lot of the times it's because I've been a solo traveler. Yeah. And a solo traveler is a woman in places that are, you know, not always friendly. Like I definitely get anxious and nervous and I've had stressful things happen. So I wouldn't like, I don't like to scare people with those stories, but I think you have to be cautious and prepared. Yeah. And that's the important thing.
Absolutely. Since this is going out to listeners that are possibly anxious adventurers or just have like some anxiety around traveling or stress, I wanted to see if you have, in your many years of traveling around the globe, any tips or tricks that you're just like, oh, I use this and it just makes my trip so much better, or something that you pack in your bag, or something that you use on a plane, something like that. Is there anything that kind of pops in your head?
Interesting. My biggest thing is, I guess because I like doing research, so mm-hmm. I always like to read a lot in advance or talk to people, like find someone who's been there or is from that country.
And this is why we're friends, out,
like, yeah, like what are the things I love to know, you know, because in some countries, like this is a perfect example. In some countries in the US, you wouldn't think twice about telling someone to come here. Oh, yeah, just put the Uber app on your phone or call a taxi. Well, I found in certain countries in South America, you don't just flag a taxi. Like you call a very specific number. You have to like get their license plate. You have to get their information because you have to be worried about kidnappers, which I don't want to scare people. But like being prepared and knowing what's a safe way to move around the country. Or the other thing I would say is no matter what country you're going to, and I know this is going to sound kind of like very American or US centric, but always have dollars with you. Dollars will get you far no matter where you are in the world. That's you can always tip. Exchange them for local currency.
Yep.
Or sometimes just having dollar bills will get you out of a tricky situation really fast. So Absolutely. Don't be afraid to bring a bunch of dollar bills and a lot of US currency. You can always exchange it if you need to, but chances are you don't need to. It's actually better.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I always take US money with me no matter what, cash. Cash is king typically anyways, but there's something about having some US dollars on you that really just, it can get you out of some tight situations. And like you said, not wanting to scare anyone, but it's just, there's just sometimes that it has a lot of value.
It's just being prepared.
Yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely.
Totally. Because I'll say like I'll tell this little story. Mm-hmm. When I came to Argentina, I was actually in Brazil first. Okay. And I took a bus from the Iguazu Falls from the Brazilian side over into Argentina. And then I took the bus all the way down to Buenos Aires. Okay. And when I arrived at the bus terminal in Buenos Aires, I was like, oh, I had Brazilian money with me, reals maybe. I forgot what their currency is
called. I think. No, that's
rupiah. Yeah.
Real.
I feel like it's reals.
Reals. Yeah.
Something like that. It's one of those like R ones.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, I need to exchange it for pesos. So I go inside the terminal. The kiosk is closed probably because it was Sunday or something. And I go to the ATM. Well, same thing. The ATM was out of money, so I could get no local currency. And all I had was Brazilian money, and no one's going to accept that in Argentina.
Right.
But I had dollars. And so dollars like got me out of that situation. And it was like, you know, you can't trust ATMs. You can't trust banking systems in some countries. So that's my number one thing. Always have dollars on you. And you'll will get you out of a lot of tricky situations.
Yeah. No, that's amazing tip. That is such a great tip to have just in your back pocket, like just to have like either in your little travel pouch that you put under your clothes or in your bra. I always put money in my bra. But that's like, or if you're a guy, you could put it in your sock. Like that's, I always have cash.
I would say even like, I mean, to be honest, like even traveling in the US too, like, you know, we're so used to, because I've always lived in big cities, like, oh, well, of course I can just use my credit card or my debit card. But in some areas, like, you know, what if your card gets shut down for some reason? Or what if there's no Wi-Fi or this place is cash only and there's no ATM? Like, you might miss a meal because you can't pay for lunch, you know? Yeah. So like just things like that. That's my number one advice.
Yeah. On any trip. You're so right. Because I do that on road trips here in the US too. Like I always have some cash on hand just in case, like if anything happens. Or like you said, there's a random bank closing that day and you can't like get to the ATM's down. Like there's all sorts of things as to why having cash on hand is so important. I love that tip. Thank you. for bringing that up. Yeah, I love
so it. Not the like most exciting one, but hopefully yeah. it helps someone.
Absolutely.
Helps me many times.
No, that's a great one. I love it. Thank you. Okay, so coming to the end, I want to ask, where can my listeners find you? So social media or your website, that type of thing. Share with us.
Sure. So like we said at the beginning, my website is welljourn.com, and I'm sure that'll be in the show notes, right?
It will.
And then you can also find me at Welljourn Shop on Instagram or on Facebook. And usually I post pretty pictures of all my products there. So if you want to see what's new in the shop or what I'm excited about right now, I try to just share a lot of products that yeah. I'm excited about.
Yeah. And they're beautiful products too. One of the ones that I love that you just shared with me was your eyeglass holders. And they're just adorable. Yes. They just make me smile. And like, they're kind of like, they have the eyeglasses or sunglasses you can put on them too. And they're just the cutest things ever. And definitely check those out because they're so cute. They come in all different like faces and...
Yeah, there's faces, there's a bunch of animals. So like my bestseller right now, I'm just looking at one, is the peacock. Oh. And then there's a sparrow that's really popular. But there's also a cat. So there are a whole bunch of different ones. And those are cool. They're actually carved blocks of wood that are made by an artisan group in India. So
cool.
On my wish list is to one day go down to India and be able to maybe meet the artists or see them being made. I haven't had the pleasure of that yet, but that's on my, my travel wish list to go there.
Right? Totally. Speaking of that, will you be doing any traveling abroad this year or anywhere in the US? Do you have any trips planned?
So nothing planned right now, but I did just get back from a trip.
Ooh.
Let's see. I just got back from the Dominican Republic, and that was my first time being out there, and highly recommend it. I did go the way like staying at a resort. So it wasn't so much of like being in the country, but it was beautiful beaches if you're a beach person. Tropical fruits. I love tropical fruits. So that was great. And just really the kindest, most friendly people everywhere. Very welcoming to tourists. So that was really nice. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. I've never been down there. I'd love to go. Like, it sounds like a beautiful place with beautiful people. So
Definitely. Yeah. So highly recommend it.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Thanks for sharing that. I wanted to also say that Tina and I will be doing, actually right now when this podcast comes out, we are doing a collaboration this week. So it starts today as you're listening to this podcast and this episode. And we're going to be doing a 20% off both our websites. So I will have all of the information in the show notes. You can have take a look at her website and her shop. That will be linked in the show notes as well. And then we'll also have the code and everything down there too. So you can check that out. It'll be 20% off your entire order. So the code will be down there in the show notes and you'll find all that information. It'll be happening for about a week. And if you're on either of our newsletters, you'll be getting that in a newsletter as well. We'll be sending that as an email. So I'll have all of that information in the show notes for you guys to check out. So please feel free to check that out. We wanted to do a fun little collab along with this podcast so we can just share both of our stores and stories and travel inspirations. So Yeah.
And I love your store, Katie. I'm not wearing it right now, but I did. I don't know if you remember last year, I bought one of your necklaces.
Yes.
The sun pendant, which I think was actually from your Argentinian artist. Yep. And it's one of my favorite pieces. So, I love that one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tina, so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate all your stories. We have so much in common. I didn't even realize, Tina, and it just makes me so understand why we're friends, why we connect so well. I definitely would love to have you back on to share more of your stories because that South America trip sounds amazing. We had so many connections because I've done something similar. So I'd love to have you back on the podcast maybe later this year so we can kind of dive a little bit more deeper into that. But thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciated you sharing your stories and your travel advice and adventures with us.
Thanks so much, Katie. It's been a pleasure to be on here. And I think it's really cool that you're doing this because, people shouldn't let anxiety of travel like stop them from doing it. Like, you should find ways that feel safe for you to get out of your comfort zone. And like, the reward of travel is just so amazing that it's worth it.
Oh, very well said. Yeah, absolutely. Agree completely. Well, thank you again, Yay. Tina.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And that's it for today's Traveler Story Edition, guys. I want to thank Tina again for coming on the podcast and sharing her stories with us, as well as her tips on traveling. I hope you enjoyed it and were inspired to get out and create some travel experiences of your own. Before I close out this episode, there are a few things I want to remind you of. Be sure to head to the show notes to find your special code for that 20% off your entire purchase at both of our shops. Links to our websites are also there. Want to be my next guest and tell me and the listeners about your travel adventures? Drop me an email, anxiousadventuresclub@gmail.com, and let me know that you're interested. I'd love to have you join me here on the Anxious Adventure podcast. And one last thing. The only way to get this podcast out there is with your help. So wherever you listen to your podcasts, please follow, subscribe, and hit those 5 stars if you like the podcast. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. I'd love to hear your feedback. And if you leave a 5-star review, I'll definitely give you a shout out. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you learned something new and were encouraged to get out there and travel this great planet. It's completely worth it. All right, until next time, my dear anxious adventurers, ciao, besos. Mwah.